in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. Praise God. We're going to read just this one verse here this morning. The first verse, Isaiah 43 and verse number 1. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Praise God. Amen. Father, thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you've blessed us over these last days, Lord, with opportunities to hear your word and to be stirred, Lord, by the preaching of the word of God. Now, Lord, I just ask that today that you would open our hearts to hear from you, Lord, that you would speak to your people and to all of us here in this building today. We ask for your anointing and for your presence to be upon this time in the service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah 43 verse 1, but now, that phrase is referring to the previous chapter, and is a reaction to what was going on in the previous chapter. But now, things are going to be changed, or things are going to be different. This is a response to what was going on. And when you look back to the previous chapter, you can see that God was dealing with Israel. He was dealing with the people of God, the children of Israel, and they were refusing his right way. They were rejecting the right way of the Lord. And the last verse there, it describes how God was dealing with them. It says that verse 25, therefore he hath poured upon him the fury of his anger and the strength of the battle, and it has set him on fire round about. Yet he knew it not, and it burned him, and yet he laid it not to his heart. And so it's referring to what God and how that God was dealing with them in severity and judgment, and even the fire of judgment that was coming against them, but they didn't recognize that it was God. All these things that were happening, they didn't recognize this was God talking to them and God dealing with them. They knew it not. It burned him, yet he laid it not to heart. Somehow he faced this judgment. The children of Israel were facing this judgment of God, and God burned with fury and with judgment against them, but they didn't take notice that it was God dealing with them. And they didn't respond. They literally rejected and refused to go in the way of the Lord. And when God tried to correct them, and even correcting them in severity, they still didn't respond to that. They didn't listen to the voice of the Lord. Even when God came at them, it seemed like they just hardened their heart. Got even more unresponsive whenever God dealt with them. You know, one of the goals of correction and discipline in our life is they would bring us to a place and bring us back into agreement with God. And whenever you experience that, hopefully you respond that way. But honestly, a lot of people, we're really dealing with a generation of people now that have faced a lot of things. Just not that many years ago, our country faced one of the most unbelievable attacks against our country. And for just a little while after 9/11, there was an openness and a responsiveness, it seemed like, among some toward the things of the Lord. But it didn't take very long, just a few days or weeks that went by, and some didn't even respond to that. Some didn't even open their heart to the Lord during that time. And just hardened their hearts and were unresponsive. You know of people, and I know of people, maybe your family, maybe your loved ones, and they've gone through severe and difficult times,
But for some reason, even that didn't turn them to the Lord. And so this is God was speaking to Israel and was dealing with Israel in their hard-heartedness and their unresponsiveness. It says, but now, it's describing the way that God is going to respond now to them. Now we can just immediately, in our minds, we can think, you know, well, if people won't respond to something that severe, then God's just going to forget about them. God's just going to abandon them. He's just going to say, I've done all I can do to help them. That's the natural response. There may have been those that you've been concerned about and they won't respond and they face all kinds of things and there's all kinds of dealing with them and working in their lives and they're unresponsive. And you just think, Lord, you're just going to give up on them. You're just going to give up on them. But that is not. This verse reveals the nature of God. That when we humanly would give up on people who are beyond help, God doesn't give up. Praise God. Amen. What an amazing thing it is that it says here, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Isn't that amazing? That a response would be, my natural response is whenever someone rejects God and rejects and rejects and rejects, I begin to think, well, Lord, you're just going to write them off. They're gonna be abandoned by God. They're gonna be forsaken by the Lord. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to think, well, Lord, that's just what they deserve. That's just what they've got coming to them. But that's not the nature of God. And I'm so glad that God is a God who continues to deal in mercy that's beyond my comprehension. You know, when man is at his worst, God is at his best. Amen. Amen. When sin abounds, God's grace much more abounds. And it's in the darkest of times, in the times of greatest rebellion and hardness of heart toward God, that God shows up in a mercy that is only a revelation of His nature. It is only a revelation of who He is because it's not a human thing. We naturally get to the point that we give up, but the Bible says that His mercies endure forever. Amen. Amen. But now, God, when we would lose patience, when we would give up, God's mercy is still reaching and hasn't even begun to be exhausted. Amen. When we're at the end of our mercy, God's mercies are just beginning. He's still reaching and loving. And I understand that the door of grace is going to close. And I understand that one of these days that mercy is going to run out. And people are going to lose their opportunity to be saved. I understand that. But we need to be reminded here this morning that God is a God who loves. And God is a God who is merciful beyond anything we can ever comprehend. Even when people harden their hearts against Him and are unresponsive and they don't respond to the judgments of God and the fire of God and they don't even recognize that the things that are going on in their life, that's God working in their heart. That's God trying to wake them up. That's God trying to reveal Himself to them. And they don't even see it. They don't even realize that it's Him. They didn't even lay it to heart. It didn't even affect them. Right now, right then, in the midst of all of that, in that darkest of time, God is revealing His mercy to people who do not deserve it. They deserve judgment. Psalm 136 is a wonderful psalm because it describes, every verse describes, is the phrase that the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. The mercy of the Lord. Now, why was it placed in there? God doesn't put something in His Word, inspired of the Holy Spirit, unless we need to take notice of the fact that in every verse, God is saying, my mercy endures forever. My mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him who alone doeth great wonders, for His mercy endureth forever. For 22 verses in Psalm 136, in every type of a circumstance, in every type of a situation, in dealing with Israel and all of their problems and all of their needs, God just keeps coming and saying, the mercies of the Lord endure forever. The mercies of the Lord endure forever. There's a verse in James chapter 2 and verse 13 that says that mercy rejoices against judgment. As I looked into that phrase, mercy rejoiceth against judgment. It's really describing like a sparring match, like a wrestling match or a fight. That mercy is battling in as in this wrestling match with judgment. But mercy always wins. Amen. Amen. That mercy wins. Mercy rejoices against judgment. The phrase one commentator said, mercy always takes the day. Mercy always wins the battle. Amen. That God steps on the scene and reveals His hand of mercy. And I know that you're concerned and you're praying and you're like me. You've got people you're concerned about that they've hardened their heart and it seems to get harder and harder and harder. But don't give up your praying, because God's not giving up. God's mercy is still reaching. His mercies endure forever. When you get to the end of your patience and your willingness to pray and to reach out to them, God's mercies are just getting started. His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 11 and verse 33, it says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. This is beyond me. This, whenever I begin to think and try to comprehend this, because you know I guess I'm kind of a patient, long suffering person, but I come to the end of my patience. I come to the end of my long suffering. I get to the point where I just say, okay, well, I can't do anything about this problem. I can't solve this problem. I can't help these people. I can't minister to them. I can't solve their problems. I can't keep working with them. They're beyond help. That's my response. That's my natural response. And even and the most patient person that ever lived in this world, and the most merciful patient person that ever lived in this world, his patience is running out, and God's mercies are just getting started. Praise God. As He extends His love, His ways are beyond our comprehension. His judgments are unsearchable. His ways are past finding out. So just be reminded of this here this morning, that you may be at a point that you don't have any patience or you don't have any mercy anymore for some. But God is reaching. God is reaching. His love is still reaching. He's still being merciful to those, even those who won't respond to His severity and His judgment and the fires of judgment. And they don't even recognize the hand of God. This nation is under a judgment, facing all kinds of things, the economy and all the things that are going on now. A lot of people, they don't even associate it with their moral or their spiritual condition. Let me tell you, we're slipping and going down further and further away from God. And we're facing more and more severe times. But for some reason, this generation is just kind of happy-go-lucky. They don't even recognize it as the severity of God, and God trying to wake up this generation to put God first. They're not thinking about it. They're not taking it to heart. But does that mean that God is running out of mercy? No. 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 He's not running out. His mercies endure forever. His mercies endure forever. He's still dealing with them. He's still speaking to them. He's still loving them and reaching out to those in their need. Job 9 and verse 10, which doth great things. Job is talking about God and His nature here in Job 9 and 10, which doeth great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, supernatural things, things beyond our ability to comprehend, greater than you can ever number. God is revealing His mighty hand in ways that you can't even comprehend. Hallelujah. Titus verse 4 of chapter 3. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I like it that even in the Old Testament, it uses that phrase again and again, that He shows mercy to thousands. Mercy to thousands. Even right there in the commandments, when it's describing, there in Exodus chapter 20, and it's describing a people who are breaking the first commandment, and they are in idolatry. And they are not serving Him, that one God alone. Right in the middle of that commandment, it says that He's showing His mercy to thousands who love Him. Praise God. That in the middle of severity and judgment, you can still experience the mercy and the love of God. Hallelujah. Lamentation says that His mercies are new every morning. Every morning, when you go through the darkness of the night, you know, when people are wanting to commit wicked, evil sins, they usually do it under the cover of darkness, don't they? They go, whenever people who are wicked and evil, they use the night, they use the darkness to cover up the worst of their wickedness and the ways that they're going. But as soon as the sun comes up on them, just as the sun begins to rise above the horizon and the darkness begins to be dispelled, God is saying, I'm still showing mercy to all of those who have spent the night in darkness fulfilling all types of sin and wickedness and fleshly pursuits. Whenever the sun comes up, it reveals the mercy of God, that this is another day and another opportunity for them to know God and to be saved. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so He spoke to the children of Israel. And He said, But now, even though you haven't heard my voice and you haven't seen my hand, even in the severe judgments that you've experienced, but now I want to remind you that I am the Lord that created you. I am the God that created you. I shaped you, I formed you, I created you in my image. You are the crown of my creation. Why were you created? You were created to serve me and to know me and to fellowship with me. You were created not only for time, but for eternity. Because you, when the breath of life, when I breathe my breath of life into you, I created you, I made you a living soul, and you were created for eternity. And that's what He was speaking to a rebellious, hard-hearted, unresponsive generation, was the tenderness of the Lord who was reminding them, I created you, I formed you, I shaped you for eternity to know me and to fellowship with me. Oh, the mercies of the Lord. I created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee. The phrase there is just like the phrase that's used of the potter who would shape the clay and would make it, would squeeze it and to shape it into what he would want it to be. He's reminding Israel, and he's reminding every generation, succeeding generation, who hardens their heart against God, that God created you for eternity to know Him and to fellowship with Him, and He shaped you and He formed you specifically where, what you are, your life. He gave it to you for a purpose. He created your life to serve Him. Your life, where you are, who you are, who you were born to, your time in history. All of these things were in the mind of God, and God created you and placed you where you are, and is all a revelation of the mercy of the Lord. He created you and He formed you, and He has redeemed you. He has redeemed you. It's describing to this rebellious and stiff-necked generation that even though you don't deserve anything, you don't deserve anything except the fire of judgment, you deserve to be separated from God forever. But I created you, and remind you, I created you, I shaped you, I formed you, and I redeemed you. I paid the ultimate price. I ransomed you. And if you go to hell, if you persist in the way you're going and you go to hell, it's going to be because you have just trampled over the mercies of God. Every day of your life, you've trampled over the mercies of the Lord that was reaching and reaching and reaching and reaching to try to see you come to the Lord. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the redemption, the plan of God that purchased and provided our salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means that in the mind of God, and the plan of God and the purpose of God, it was already settled before you were ever born. It was settled before any generation was ever born that you were going to be born into sin and you were going to need a Savior. And Jesus had already offered Himself. He laid down His life already for you before the foundation of the world. It was no surprise to Him that He was led to Golgotha. It was no surprise to Him. He was fulfilling the will of the Father, the plan of God, the plan of the ages for all the rebellious of every generation to be saved. That's the mercies of the Lord. That's the mercies of the Lord. I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Glory to God. I have called thee by name. Amen. Now to do that is to note an intimacy and a fellowship and a closeness. You only call people by their name, by their given name, if it's someone that you feel such a closeness with and such an intimacy with them that you can call their name and they're going to respond because there is this fellowship and closeness. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. Amen. Amen. It's the plan of God that everyone be saved. Your loved ones, your friends, all these 240 people that are on these intercessory prayer cards. We've got their name, but before we ever had their name, He had their name. He had their name. He already has their name. He's already provided a way for them and a place for them, an opportunity for them. And the mercy of God is reaching out to them right now. Right now. Thou art mine. Glory to God. I think you ought to, when you pray for them, you ought to pray it that way and claim that. Lord, they're yours. They belong to you. They belong to you. They're my child, but Lord, before they were ever mine, they were your child. Amen. Lord, they're my loved one, but before that, you loved them with an everlasting love. And you revealed your mercy to them. And you called them by name. And you already have them and own them and possess them. They belong to you, Lord. So the enemy needs to let go of his hand upon their life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the mercies of the Lord that endure forever. Amen. It's beyond my ability to understand or comprehend this. I'm just so glad that when I read it in the Bible that I can by faith believe it. I can believe that the darkest, most wicked, evil sinner that is not deserving of anything but judgment, just like you and me. That's what we deserve. That's what we deserve. But we're here this morning in this place lifting up our hands, praising and worshiping the Lord, enjoying the presence of God because His mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And years ago, a lot of years ago now, for me, 40 plus years ago, just a young boy heard the gospel, responded to the gospel, and somehow there was a place for me in the kingdom of God. How is that possible that there could be a place for me when I think of the billions of people all over this world and they've never heard the gospel and don't even have a copy of the Word of God in their possession? Some of them have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. But somehow the Lord put me in a place where I could hear the gospel and I could respond to that and I could get saved and come to Jesus. That's mercy. That's mercy. That's His mercy that is new every day. It's His mercy that endures forever. Not giving me what I deserve. Not giving me what I really deserve. And that is the judgments of the Lord. But now, here's the response of the Lord. If I was writing this, if this was a human response, I would have said, but now I quit. I give up on you. Because I sent my fire of judgment and I've done everything to try to cause you to hear my voice and to turn your heart to me, but you keep turning away. If I would have wrote this chapter, Isaiah 43, I would have said, but now it's over. Now there's no hope for you. Now there's no way you can be saved. But that's not the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But now He has created us, formed us, purchased us, called us by name, and we're His possession. That is the mercy of the Lord. I know that He was speaking specifically to Israel, but He was actually speaking to every generation who would be face to face with their sinfulness and their rebellion and would need a merciful Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Why don't we stand here this morning and let's just take a moment to thank the Lord, to praise the Lord, because His mercies do endure forever. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I don't deserve it. None of us deserve that. None of us, Lord, are worthy of any good thing, Lord. But Lord, I thank You that You saw us in our need. You saw us, Lord, in our hard-heartedness, our unresponsiveness. You saw us, Lord, in our rejection of that which is good. You saw us, Lord, in our hopeless condition, Lord. When darkness just seemed to cover our heart and our mind, oh, the light of Your mercy broke through. And we thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You, Lord, for that. We thank You, Jesus, Lord, that You have provided to each one of us here today the wonderful door of grace and the opportunity, Lord, to know You in a personal way. Oh, we thank You, Jesus. Oh, we do thank You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just take a moment with your heads bowed just for a moment. There's not a person here in this building that deserves any good thing from God. Not any of us. But oh, He has just poured out upon us. Not only has God created you, shaped you, formed you, and placed you where you are right now, but it's all a part of His design so that you can know Jesus personally. So you can know Him personally in a real way. It's the mercies of the Lord that you can find forgiveness and you can have a hope and a future. It's the mercies of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before we all pray this morning, if there's anyone here today that you want to reach out to the mercy of God, turn your life over to the Lord. You recognize just how far away you are from God. And yet He loves you and is reaching for you and has again and again and again. Praise God. Why not allow the Lord? Why not allow the Lord to take control of your life? The Bible says if you'll confess your sin, own up to it, repent of your sins, turn from them, He's faithful. He's faithful. He's just. He'll forgive you. He'll redeem you. Hallelujah. He's the Savior and He's the only hope for this generation. In the mercies of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to pray this morning. I invite everybody to the altar. Everyone, let's come and gather around. If you're not a Christian here this morning, come right on. Come right on. If your heart has been hardened toward God, why don't you come right on and respond to the voice of the Lord here this morning? He cares about you and He'll save you if you'll just turn to Him. Let's come and pray. Would you come? Amen. Everyone coming in and praying around these altars. We got a lot of time for prayer. Take advantage of this time. And if you are a Christian, just thank the Lord. Just praise God and thank God for His mercies, for His love. Hallelujah.